in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh has he quickened, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now watch verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus did. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, what you eat, or in drink, what you drink, or in respect of the holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. I'm going to read verse 16 again. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Then in verse 18, he said, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Then he said this. Now he's talking about the bylaws of men that try to put you in fear and make you and try to get you to be righteous by your works and not Christ. He said, verse 20 again, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor, but to the satisfying of the flesh. In other words, when the men of Ephraim, that's drunk with their poisonous doctrine, just like the Pharisees, come to you and try to impose their will upon you, well, if you're really a Christian, you don't drink coffee, you don't drink beer, you don't drink wine, you don't smoke cigarettes, you go to church on this particular day, not on that one. If you're really saved, you'll be doing this or you'll be doing that's all that's hogwash. All of it. Now, I want to tell a story of what happened, what I saw. Now, when I don't drink. I don't believe in getting drunk and being out of my mind. I decided a long time ago that ain't for me. I know Jesus' first miracle was turning water to wine. And wine has a purpose. And I'm not going to tell somebody, you're going to hell if you drink wine or beer or whatever. But if, and you know, they said you can't drink coffee too. I drink coffee. I don't drink beer, wine, or any whiskey, none of it. I don't want it. It's not for me. Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. The water was so bad. There's some good properties in wine. See, you got to keep things in perspective. So Jesus never, you know what? When I went to the Holiness Church, they had their bylaws doctrine that they would preach. I've seen ministers preach it all the time. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I believe in that. I believe in being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's true. They were right about that. And but I've seen people fight over how they get baptized, whether it's in the name of Jesus or the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was baptized in Jesus' name. It's not unbiblical. Just like being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not unbiblical. But I'm not going to try to exclude somebody because they didn't get baptized like I did. And, you know, but nevertheless, bear with me. They had a dress code for women. They had all these things. Some churches were worse than the one I went to. The church I went to, they didn't care about sports. We used to play football on Saturday sometime. But some churches, they didn't believe in sports, going to movies, watching television. I mean, now this is what happened. This is the disaster it caused. Okay, the women, bless their heart, they had to wear dresses everywhere, so they didn't ride bicycles. They were no fun to be around. They didn't play sports. And all they would do is go out to eat. You wasn't going to go play tennis on a dress. So a lot of things happened. And they imposed these things on girls that I went to school with. And they were sad. Everybody else would be out there playing. They sitting on the bench in their dress, wishing that they could play, but they didn't believe in sports. You know. So there were some who stuck with the doctrine. And it hindered them in life. A lot of things that should have been done were not done. I met a guy, he was a good acrobat. He could run and do triple flips and land on his feet, but he didn't believe in sports. I said, man, you need to be in the Olympics or something. Ah, sports is of the devil. I said, man, you good at this. I can do that, but sports is of football and baseball, all that. That's of the devil. Come on, man. He was convinced. He went to the wrong church. But they focus on what they can't do. Never learning how the kingdom of God operates. So when you do something that's not working long enough, eventually you're going to figure it out. Or you're going to stay in the deception of it. And be Satan's useful idiot. That's all. Whatever you portray, whatever you believe, that's what you'll portray. Jesus said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. And when people believe dead doctrines, just like I just described, they scatter their children away. Some of the girls got pregnant. Their lives were sad. And now, you know, they're not established, so they got to stay at their parents' house. Or now they got to buckle down, go to school, and get out on their own. Or they're going to be going to that church a long time. But I've seen others, they dealt with it. They didn't like it. They realized it wasn't true. And as soon as they could, they were motivated to go to college or join the army or get married, and they wanted out of their parents' house. This thing broke up all kind of relationships. I've seen this happen so many ways. That's why I'm bringing it up now. People are drunk with dead doctrines. But the good thing is, when people saw people on TV operating in the gifts, it kind of changed all that. You don't hear churches with those stigmas anymore. When people know women can wear pants if they want to, and they can wear jewelry if they want to, and some people choose not to, I respect that. But and when they wasn't wearing jewelry and makeup and dressing nice, just all God said do was be modest, dress modest. Don't show everything off. That's all. If you had a love of God in you, you're gonna dress like it. You know, you don't have to wear advertising clothes. But be modest. And see, when you let your moderation be known, when this is in your heart, you can't do this because somebody tell you to. If somebody got to tell you how to dress, you got another problem. But if you have the love of God in you, you're going to govern your life better. And you'll wrap yourself up and you'll look good. But when they told the women they couldn't wear makeup and jewelry, they had another problem. How are they going to attract somebody they want to marry? You look plain when other women are beautiful. And then they get jealous of the beautiful women. And they didn't look like Jezebel either. They just dressed themselves up like they had good sense. And then they attract the better husbands. And then the women that wouldn't fix themselves up, they attracted old husbands or men that drank. I'm just being honest with you. This is what I saw with my eyes growing up. And I knew that life wasn't working. And you couldn't talk them out of it because they right. They believe they right. Their opinion is that they're doing this the right way. They're honoring God. This is what God wants. How can you tell somebody that they're wrong when they know they're right? And I saw pastors boosting it all, they encourage it. Half of the preaching, or more than half of the preaching, was about the doctrines. And the Holy Spirit is trying to alert them to greater things. But they're sticking to the bylaws too much. And they're scattering people instead of educating people in the Holy Ghost. Along with all this, while I'm going through this storm, watching this storm brew, the reason I went to a holiness church in the first place was because I wanted to know more about the Holy Spirit. And they received the Holy Spirit, and they really did. And there were some good-hearted people there. There were some very wise people there. They just had this doctrine problem. I had to overlook the doctrinal problems. But I wanted a relationship with the Lord. So then the Lord called me to the ministry in 87. I'm watching all these things happen. In 1987, he called me to the ministry. And I said, Lord, I don't want to promote foolishness. I've seen different types of ministers preach different things, and I know one of them got to be wrong, or all of them are wrong. I said, I don't know the word enough to do it right myself. Why are you calling me? And I felt pressure. I felt like I wasn't qualified. But God was right. He called me. I said, well, I got to do this. And I wasn't interested in being a preacher until God gave me a message. And when I saw that he would give me what to say, I said, I'm going to get to know the Lord through this. And my strategy, which I didn't get gained by myself, a lady, she quoted Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, every Sunday for years. And that word got in my heart. Elder Lewis used to receive messages from the Lord. And when I had questions, I would ask the Lord my question, and he would answer it in the message. And so I started looking for him to answer it in the message. And I started pulling from him. And the Lord blessed me that way. So now that I was called to the ministry, I expected, and I saw that God would give me a message, I said, I'm going to find out some things that I've been puzzled about. All these doctrines people have, I'm going to see if the Lord give it to me to preach. And ever since, from the time I've been called to the ministry, he never had me to tell women that they couldn't wear pants, jewelry, makeup. He never told me that people can't drink coffee, even beer and wine, which I won't do. But I never received from the Holy Spirit, you can't do something. He just never gave it to me that way. Not even smoking. But I know it'll kill you. Everybody, I wouldn't do it. But he never told me. I've seen him take the poison away from people. And he never told me to tell people to smoke either. But he never gave me a lot of the things that people were hung up on. How to baptize. It's baptized just like the scriptures say baptize. But don't make a doctrine out of it to divide the body. He did teach me about, I taught a lot about receiving the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Being baptized in Jesus' name is just as biblical as being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I know that they had a doctrine, Jesus only, no. The Father has a function, the Holy Spirit has a function, and Jesus has a function. Even though you're baptized in Jesus' name. People have done all kind of mischief in trying to prove their points. But if you just stick with the Word of God, you will be fine. He never told me women couldn't preach. In fact, Elder Lewis had enough courage to release the women that God was dealing with. And five women went up that was called to preach. And they preached well. I thank God for them. See, when you allow God to help you make adjustments, you can do something. And then and all those girls that were put under all that pressure, and it just shaped that, it turned their life in a false direction. It affected the girls more than the guys. And most of the people that used to go to Holiness Church would be women. It would always be more women than men. Now, I'm not trying to pick on the Holiness Church. Other churches do things too. The denominational churches, they were taught from their uplines not to receive the miracles, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. They say that went out with the apostles. And Holiness churches, I remember a time, they were kind of spooky to the Methodist churches and the Baptist churches. But I've seen this in my dad's church. He preached a revival, and I've seen people shouting. I seen a kid my own age, he got, the Spirit came on him, and he just was slain in the Spirit, just like in a Pentecostal church. I'm in the choir singing, I look back at him, I said, what's wrong with him? He felt the Spirit of God. See, God ain't dead. Sometimes our doctrines are dead and need to be resurrected and changed and sometimes just done away with altogether. The way we see things is wrong. But if you learn of him, also I asked the Lord a question. I said, Lord, help me represent you right. I want to know how to do this. And he taught me. See, when Jesus teaches you, it's something you can build your life with. And if you're a college student and you have a relationship with the Lord, you can learn better. I had a boring job. I worked at the grocery store and me and Barry used to sweep the whole floor and mop it in 30 minutes. And it was about a third of the size of a Walmart Supercenter. There was a big grocery store. That's big for a grocery store. But we had a system. I went down the aisle, he went down the aisle. He went through sweeping first, all the trash from the sides. And I would come behind him with the push broom. We could do that in 15 minutes. Then we mopped the floor in 15 minutes. We had it down to a science. We had done it so much, we got it down to about 30 minutes. I don't know how we did. We did it. But while I was doing the work, you don't have to think when you're doing something like that. I meditated on what I had heard in class when I was in mechanic school. I treated the knowledge of fixing cars, the knowledge about cars, just like I do the word. I meditate on what I read and think about it all day. So I did that with, see, the Holy Spirit, when you practice the Word of God, it can enhance your college experience. It can enhance you on the job that you have. When you're learning from the Lord and you're putting something in the bank of your heart, His Word, when people have trouble around you, the Holy Spirit will help you love them, help you say things that's going to help them. It takes you far beyond your years, things that will take you a lifetime to learn. The Holy Spirit can teach you swiftly. and the Holy Spirit will help you minister to people far beyond your years and capability, because you receive knowledge from Him, which is life, and He can help you relay it to others that need it. But not if you're going to be drunk with a dead doctrine. See, God has something to say. And I'm disappointed because so many people, they hold the reins of their heart. They don't release it to the Lord. Jesus is not your king unless you obey Him. So if you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in all truth, the Lord can guide you better. And He can bring out things that He put in you, talents that you have. A lot of things are missing because people are still sticking to the bylaws of old. And it will happen until a lot of people don't go to church. This is why they see past the bylaws and the restrictions that people have allowed for themselves. And they learn more in the prayer room. And so a man made a movie called Chosen. And they put it on YouTube and people have funded it. And the Lord told me that there was a revival right now. It's been going on for the last few years. And they're waiting on God to do something big and see people fill up the churches again. And I would love for that to happen, because there are some good churches out there. But what the Lord have done, people that want to know Him, He taught them. There are people out there with a relationship now. And the Lord has given them assignments, and it's working. When He published the show Chosen, He got enough money to fund not only the first season, but the second season and the third season. Then He made a movie and put it in the theater that was supposed to be there, a week? Shane was telling me yesterday, a friend of mine at church, that it did so well, they asked, could they keep it 10 more weeks? And He said, well, on a certain day, it's going to be on YouTube. Everybody could watch it. And guess what? People still pack out the theaters now. The hunger is out there. It's always been out there. And the Lord knew how to reap it without those that won't listen to Him. I said, without those that won't listen to Him. Without those who refuse to listen to Him. This revival, He said, it can't be stopped. See, used to, the preachers, He told me another little fact that is disappointing to know. He said, some preachers they are paid not to preach right. Let me share this with you, and I'm going to close with this. The devil is slick, but not slick enough. God is way ahead of him. See, the enemy, it wasn't an accident that the men of Ephraim chose the south road like they did, and they were drunk with a dead doctrine in chapter 28. I want to show you something. When people have the wrong appetite, this is a reflection of what happens. This is Isaiah chapter 30. He said, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked in my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. And this is happening in modern times. This was written so we wouldn't duplicate this problem. Verse 4. For his princes were as Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beast of the south into a land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and the fire-flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of the young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camel to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now go write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Now watch verse 9. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. This spirit is still alive, and it's deadly in the church. This is why the Lord went around what's false, what won't listen to him, what won't follow the path of the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, those breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. He shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not, but ye said no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee. And we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and an ensign on a hill, or a signal on a hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is the God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. There's always a remnant. There's always a remnant. See, as Isaiah was dealing, they wanted to run to Egypt for help against the king of Assyria. But see, their rebellion brought the attack of the king of Assyria. And there was no way in the world that Egypt was going to help them out of it. And they tried to tell the prophet. This is going on now. It's just different people and different causes. See, there's an appetite for the world. People that love the world, their appetite is toward the world. He said that this is a rebellious children, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. People don't like when they have appetite for the world. They become an enemy against God, an enemy against Jesus, an enemy against his servants, and even an enemy against the Holy Ghost himself. I rest my case. See, I say, Lord, what used to bother me is I hear God in the prayer room, and it's much greater than what I see on TV. Not all. Some people preach the same. Some people confirm the prayer room. God always has a remnant. But some people, I get concerned not only because of what I do hear, but what I don't hear. See, dedicated people preach a dedicated gospel. And the Lord taught me that people don't follow him in 2012. He decided what he was going to do. See, the Lord has to have a protocol for rebellion, just like he has a protocol for sincerity. Those that are sincere they beget sincerity. Those that are leavened beget leaven. So God is wise. He thinks ahead. He knows. See, the tares are bound in bundles to be burned. So the Lord had a protocol that works. Don't forget that. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty to move in and throughout your life. But things that were dying, sick, dead, and dying, and wouldn't repent, they will attract people. False prophets attract false people. They're bound in bundles to be burned. You can't talk them out of their righteousness. Their deceived righteousness. And some people know that this ain't right, and I'm not going to bother my life with it anymore. And I've seen people break through and follow Jesus. And then there are those who go along to get along, and they get consumed, and their life never goes anywhere. I had to break through personally. I had to break through the church culture. I said, I'm going to follow God. And I land where I land, and if people don't like it, they just don't like it. I had to take a Jesus position. And I said, I'm going to stick with Jesus. Whoever don't stick with Jesus, that's their business. But me and my house will follow the Lord. And that's why I'm doing these broadcasts. To bless people that want to know him and follow on to know him. Because God has something to say to you. Now, the next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory. Stay in the love of God. Because God has so much to say to his people. And he will help us bear much fruit. Without him, we can't bear fruit.